It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning, Lightning Radio time here on the Q. It's Thursday, which means the lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, joining us via Skype this morning. Good morning, Bill Moss. Happy Thursday to you.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. Hopefully a bit drier Thursday.
A little bit drier. But as Paul is telling us, the rest of May is good. We're going to continue with rain the rest of May, at least some. Maybe not as bad as we've had the last few days, but we are going to continue some. And speaking of rain, every Thursday it is raining news with the Hendersonville Lightning again on the streets and in your mailboxes. And Bill, let's go ahead and get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning, and let's start with some news that hit us yesterday afternoon at 5 p.m. So it's on your website, HendersonvilleLightning.com, and that is, of course, Governor Cooper putting us into a Phase 2 reopening, but a little more restrictive than the original plan for the Phase 2 reopening. Talk about that, Bill.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark. The governor announced yesterday afternoon that the state would enter this Phase 2 reopening. True to what the governor's path has been, he has insisted, along with the State Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Mandy Cohen, that this reopening will be based on science, data, and the best public health advice and guidelines available. And so it's a tad more restrictive. What gets to open is, or what changes or gets to open is gathering limits, 10 indoors. I think that remains the same. 25 outdoors, I believe, is new. Meeting and this applies to meeting and event venues, amphitheaters, sporting venues and arenas, groups at beaches and groups at parks. So that's a little bit of a change, but not too much of one. The change, I think, is going from 10 to 25 in some outdoor spaces. A couple big ones are restaurants opening at 50% capacity, plus quite a few other pretty stringent requirements for that. We'll talk more about that. Salons, barbershops, and other personal care businesses also opening at 50% capacity. There's been a lot of talk about people wanting haircuts and long lines for haircuts and hairstyling and that kind of thing in this over the last 2.5-3 months. And then pools opening at 50%. Capacity, which is I found that one kind of interesting because the way pool play is, I haven't seen many people that stay socially distanced apart in pools. Maybe chlorine has a beneficial effect there, but I haven't seen too many masks worn in pools, although we're seeing a lot of stuff we've never before seen in our lives, so maybe that is what we'll see. But pools open. I saw there was an announcement from the YMCA, which operate here in Hendersonville, which operates both the Hendersonville YMCA indoor pool and Patton pool. They made an announcement. Look for that later on today. I don't think we've posted that yet on HendersonvilleLightning.com, but look for that later today, that those are going to be open coming up pretty soon. Remaining closed are, and there's a couple in here that originally were going to be in Phase 2. Remaining closed are bars and nightclubs, museums, playgrounds. That's outdoors, but I guess hard to police. It's kind of like I was mentioning with swimming. Gyms and fitness studios. Boy, with all this rain, for those of us that love to be outdoors but have to go to Plan B, that's a disappointment. Yeah. Editorial comment. Gyms and fitness studios remain closed, so we have to try to still go outside. And indoor entertainment venues, which is things like, of course, movies, bowling alleys, and bingo parlors, and so forth.
So, Bill, let me ask you this. Again, editorial hat. One of the things I was trying to work my mind around when I was listening to the governor speak about this yesterday afternoon was restaurants be able to open at 50% capacity but not bars. What about restaurants that also have bars? My first thought is Shine downtown. They got a restaurant side and then they've got the bar side. Any idea what that means?
Shine does. Postera does.
Yeah.
River Blue does.
Yeah.
West First does. Moe's does. Yeah. I'm acting like I know where all the bars in town are. But actually, I'm just making the point that actually most of the medium to high end bars, I mean restaurants, yeah. almost all of them, yeah. Mark, when you do. I'm sorry, I don't know the answer. I sound like I'm a bar expert, but I'm really not. And that seems to me, what I have a feeling about is that could be cordoned off, or it could be they take one out of two or two out of three. Stools or chairs away, and you're there at the bar, but it ain't like you're elbow to elbow as we think of a bar, sitting at a bar
sure.
With friends and neighbors, and it won't be that environment if it exists at all.
Okay. And that phase two, again, begins this coming Friday at 5:00 for Memorial Weekend.
It does.
And then they've lifted the stay at home, but they call it now safer at home. They're still suggesting people that are at high risk stay home, and they're still saying to telework if you possibly can.
And I think they're still saying to social distance in all cases, and to wear a mask if you cannot. So this is not, to me, I don't think, I mean, I get a sense that, I guess, again, this is editorial hat, this is tone, this is just what I can see and feel. I get a sense that there's a fair amount of impatience. There's maybe a lot of enthusiasm for opening up. I see for sure, as an empirical evidence, much more traffic.
Yeah.
In some cases, before this rainstorm, on foot, but certainly in motor vehicles as well. But in terms of the I still think what you'll see, a lot of masks, you'll see a whole lot of precautions. You're not going to see the plexiglass and the arrows and the wait here in the grocery store line. You're not going to see that go away for a while, certainly through phase two, which is another, I'm sorry, I don't have the end date handy, which is another two, 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, I think they said 5 weeks. It's between 4 to 6 weeks. And during the conference yesterday, they mentioned 5 weeks.
One other thing is, it was not on this. I was going by this chart that the governor's office put out. Summer camps, also with extreme, emphasis on the word extreme, with extreme cautions, are going to be able to open under phase two.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Overnight camps, yeah.
Yeah, that's tremendous. That's tremendous. So let's stay on that subject and move to on the front page here, and that's the fact that the city council has okayed closing off Main Street, at least for a test period, the final weekend of May. Not this coming weekend, but the final weekend of May.
Yeah, Memorial Day is, I think, about as early as it can be, because it's this coming weekend on May 25, and this is so they couldn't do it that quickly. They just couldn't move that fast, that aggressively, and the state of North Carolina wouldn't allow amended ABC permits to basically expand your space, not just out in the street, which they have now on the sidewalks, that people know, fairly close to the front door of the restaurant. But the first option was to expand to an even greater amount than that on the sidewalk. Option two was to close the street and expand into either the slant parking spaces in some cases, or the parallel, which are now the 30-minute spaces downtown. Or option three, the nuclear option, you might say, was to close Main Street, keeping the avenues open, Main Street. And the council basically didn't choose, but said yes, yes, and yes. So Lou Holloway, the terrific and creative and very hardworking these days, very committed downtown economic development coordinator, city manager John Connett, the city engineer, such as Brent and Tom and all of those in the city, will work out a way first to expand the tables for the restaurants. Parking spaces too, I guess, when they have this closure. So the trial closure, Friday night, May 29, through Sunday night, May 31. That is the big the big news here is they are going to try that. There's some heartburn, as the Lightning reported. The Lightning was first to report on Sunday, I think it was early Monday, that some segment of retailers that weren't restaurants, such as such as the shops, were especially those that have heavier items like cases of wine, or those that just say we just count on foot traffic and the open street and people want to park. And people parking close to our front door for business. And historically, we know that whether it's Apple Festival or Garden Jubilee, that we have less business. And so there was some pushback there. So this was not universally loved by all five council members, but there are three council members that strongly supported it, the two new ones, Lindsay Simpson and Jennifer Hensley, plus Jerry Smith. And that sort of won the day for at least this, I guess you might say, this two-day, three-night experience, which will be really, I think, really fun to watch. And everybody's hopeful that it'll just be a big bonanza for the restaurants.
Sure, absolutely. And I will say, Bill, I've been on some of those downtown calls over the last few weeks, some of the downtown merchants Zoom calls, and many of those downtown merchants have been very welcome to this idea also and said they would even be willing to give up some of their sidewalk space for some of the restaurants to be able to expand, because they know when the restaurants do well, they do well also as small businesses. So it's been really interesting to see all that and hear those conversations.
And that has come up. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Lou mentioned that, and so did some other people we interviewed for this story. Those even that did, like I said, had some opposition, some heartburn over this, said, hey, look, we are really for something to help the restaurants. We just wish, we hope it's not something that at the same time might end up hurting us. But
exactly.
But they, you say, restaurant. And that's why I think the closed street experiment is really interesting to watch, not just to see how much it helps the restaurants, but I'm going to be sort of, maybe I'm Pollyanna about this, but my prediction is it helps everybody, because one of the points was you're going to make it more inviting to go downtown, because people are going to see, well, if I just go downtown and I'm up and down the sidewalk, that's going to just be too crowded. But I like the idea. I'm a more cautious person, say, of walking up and down Main Street, where it'll be very easy to stay spread apart, where it's going to be much easier to have tables far apart, and where maybe I can browse at the WAG items or at the wine store items or any one of, you know, dozens upon dozens of shops and boutiques and gift shops that have things that they might be displaying outside. That's another option for the for the closed street, which, interestingly enough, the city manager calls open streets.
Right, exactly. Always a positive spin. You have to love that. So that's going to be interesting to see that. And again, that's the last weekend in May, and we'll see how. And if it works, there's the idea of it continuing at least for the foreseeable future. So,
that's right.
So let's move on. Let's stay on COVID for just a moment, Bill, because you have another story here on page 7 of this week's Lightning, and that's about this data team that's working 7 days a week tracking COVID in cases here in Henderson County.
Yeah, it's just really interesting because there were so many questions. We got tipped to the fact that this data team is working. There's really a lot more to it than people recognize. And we have a story about the nine public health staffers that are working not quite around the clock, but certainly 7 days a week on gathering the information from 63 long-term care facilities. That gives you some idea about why we have so many cases and why that's such still the biggest threat, I think, to our community is the outbreaks at the long-term care facilities. Working with those in the 18 laboratories on testing and reporting. So can check that important story out on page 7 of this week's Hendersonville Lightning.
Fantastic. Let's before we take our break, Bill, let's stay right there on very close to page 7, go to page 6, and that is we have talked about this plant being built in Lightning Thursdays and Lightning Radio before and didn't know what it was. And now we know. Online Giant plans a footprint in Mills River. Tell us about this.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lightning was the first to report about the what we have called in a couple stories then and since the mystery warehouse there on NC 280 across from Broad Point and across a smaller street on the same side of the road. People might be familiar with the Pepsi Cola distribution center, a mystery that was not all that great a mystery. The Lightning had marshaled a fair amount of circumstantial evidence that this was Amazon, even though Amazon and the town of Mills River, which I think truly didn't know, and the Henderson County Partnership for Economic Development, which did know but wouldn't tell.
Yeah.
Anyway, these stories before now had marshaled evidence such as they incorporated, they stood up a little corporation here called ALM Asheville LLC, which sounded a lot like ALM, which we now come to know is, or strongly believe, is Amazon Last Mile, very similar to ALM Bremerton, Washington, mm-hmm. state, which was at that point an open distribution center, also near a regional airport, also very similar in size. So in any event, that's what it is. Really big. It's almost 3 acres under roof of warehouse and distribution space for what's known in the trade as last mile delivery. And as we talked before, when we talked about this, when it was still called the Mystery Warehouse, a huge, huge deal. I mean, for Amazon, for Walmart, for anybody nowadays, of course, and now even more so in the coronavirus climate, even more so a big deal. The online vending has become obviously greater than ever. So this is 200. They haven't said what the pay of the jobs is, 200 jobs. There'll be a lot of traffic whizzing in and out of the Amazon Last Mile facility.
Absolutely, there will be. All right, coming up on Lightning Radio, we're going to talk about more construction in downtown Hendersonville. We're also going to talk about a little change in Main Street, a different business in Main Street. That's all coming up on Lightning Radio here on The Cue.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita authorized service repair center with a complete line of Makita cordless outdoor power equipment, chainsaws, blowers, string trimmers, hedge trimmers, lawn mowers, and more. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 till noon, Lewis Williams & Sons. Online at lewiswilliams.com.
And we are back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, downtown Hendersonville is potentially is going to look very, very different in the near future with this Cedars project. And we talked about this last week, and now the city has set a public input meeting on this project.
Absolutely. Yeah, a little bit of an editorial hat on this one, too. I, for one, was glad to see that apparently this and a couple of other stories that we have in this week's issue, the business and the enthusiasm for downtown Hendersonville has not waned in the minds and the wallets of some pretty big investors, especially in this case. This is the big kahuna of upcoming possible developments downtown, and that is the Cedars Lodge, and Spa, I guess it's called. The city council had been talking about, and the Lightning had reported from Tom and Fran Shipman and the architect Tamara Peacock that there's some urgency. They had wanted to break ground on the Cedars Lodge and Spa in August, I think it was, and it didn't look like they'd be able to do it. And they've gotten this together as one of the Zoom or Facebook-based, I'm not sure which it is, virtual meetings, which is what's called a neighborhood compatibility meeting, and that is to look at this huge and really exciting looking to me. It's brick, so it'll fit in with the style of downtown and the historic architecture. It's 200,000 square feet there at the corner of North Church and 7th Avenue or US 64 West, however you want to think about it. It preserves and renovates in a super way the historic Cedars, about 1905, I think the Cedars is. And that's where the restaurant will be, serving both the permanent residents or snowbird residents, whatever they might be, that own the condos, plus the hotel, plus the convention center, plus the pool and spa. So big deal. Look for that. Zoom in on that at 2:00 Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, May 26. Go to the City Hall website, City of Hendersonville, and look for a link to participate in that, learn more about it, and make comments.
I touch on one more point about that, and you mentioned the design of it. I really love the fact that they have chosen a local architect here who understands the feel of Hendersonville and Henderson, who's designed this for them.
Local and originally from South Florida, and was an architect for a big renovation of, wait for it, Mar-a-Lago.
Oh.
Southern, the Florida White House. The Florida
that?
White House for a certain White House occupant.
Interesting. Another story you have here on the front page, and that is Swanson's, the piano and organ store downtown, which went out of business a while about, year or so ago, going to turn into a tap room and a coffee shop. Talk to us about that.
Another big, big deal.
Yeah.
Not quite as big as the Cedars Lodge and Spa, but I saw in researching this, I don't have, maybe someone can call and tell me when it started, but in looking up the history of the building, they had pictures of Swanson's as an occupant going back to at least the 1970s. So that is a shout out to Swanson's for anchoring that space in the 400 block for so long. They sold this property a little over a year ago. To a Waynesville and Charlotte area. He's from Waynesville originally, now down in the Charlotte area, developer for about half a million dollars. And now this new group is turning this into a microbrewery, which is an existing one, not a new local one, but a Charlotte-based or Cornelius, Lake Norman area-based brewery called D9, which apparently does very well. Someone told me that they are in retail at some supermarkets around here, that the D9 beers, craft beers are. So a microbrewery. This gentleman also from Waynesville has in Waynesville Main Street coffee and yogurt. So this will have in the morning. I don't know if it's early or mid morning, but in the morning before your beer, you go there for your coffee and your yogurt. And then at some point it transitions into craft beer. I think like a lot of places, they expect to have a music stage at some point. And get this one too.
Yeah.
Upstairs, a nice renovated loft apartment that the music notwithstanding, they expect to rent via Airbnb.
How about that? Sounds like a very interesting concept. Bill, the Lightning is doing a really great job, and WTZQ is following suit in honoring our grads this year, our class of 2020. And you've got someone who's a class of 2020 who's become a top star in UNCA's class of 2020, but she was a West High graduate here. Tell us about that story, Bill.
Yeah, this comes under the rubric of what we like to call kids from here and the amazing things they do. So a product of the Henderson County Public School System, which we're going to be celebrating with that super keepsake special edition on Wednesday, June 3rd. With you're celebrating, I know, with the top students and interviews and the seniors and the graduates. But this young lady is really something. Samantha Creech she grew up in Horseshoe, where the skies get dark at night. I'll tell you why in a minute. The daughter of Carolyn Dayton and Sam Creech. She is a physics major at UNCA who will graduate with minors in mathematics and astronomy. And Samantha, when she was little, would look up from her backyard at the stars and got real interested in astronomy. So she goes into a lot of physics and astronomy at UNCA. And she studies something called data plots that represent, understand this now, Mark, the large-scale winds that are being produced by galaxies due to supernova explosions, massive stars that blow up when they die.
Wow.
That's according to Samantha in this terrific interview and profile that that the UNC Asheville News Service sent us. And in addition to all of her work in astronomy, which is impressive, she was an office supervisor for the Asheville Outdoor Program, at the UNC Asheville Outdoor Program, and led a lot of backpacking, mountain biking, and climbing expeditions. You can often spot her with a ukulele in her hands, for she has been playing violin since the age of 11, and among her accomplishments at her young age already are that she was one of the lead co-authors of a peer-reviewed article on galactic evolution in the early universe by the Society of Physics students, and winning the Astronomy Club of Asheville Carolyn Keefe Scholarship.
Wow.
So she is that. She is all of that. She is going to take a gap year to backpack and travel in New Zealand. One reason why, one of the darkest countries in the world as far as night skies goes. So Samantha Creech, the Manly E. Wright Award winner as a valedictorian of UNC Asheville.
That's a fantastic story. And again, everyone be on the lookout for the Lightning special salute to our 2020 graduates. We're running our salute to seniors, naming all of our graduates for the class of 2020 right now. And that's running through mid-June here on the Q. And stay tuned for our interviews with the valedictorians as well. So, yeah, Bill, thanks for joining us and honoring our class of 2020.
Happy to do it. And people can call. We have these super salute your graduate, salute your senior, your graduating senior that are coming out as part of that. Pictures of all the graduates and recognition and salute to the graduate on June 3rd. Deadline for that coming up in about a week. So call Matt at 698-0407 to find out how you can get one of those, a picture and some congratulatory words for that graduate for $39.99. Call Matt at 698-0407 or email him at ads@hendersonvillelightning.com. That's ads@hendersonvillelightning.com. And Matt will fix you up.
Bill, let's touch on this. There have been some really sweet and touching stories during this this health crisis that we have, and you've got a story right here about one of them. And I'm just going to read the title, and you go for it from there. For his birthday, Charlie gets a fire truck parade.
Yeah, it was a really sweet story. Another freelancer of ours, Kathy Pearson, has been finding some really neat stories out in the community, and this one was about Charlie. Age three, getting surprised by a fire truck parade from the Etowah Horseshoe Fire and Rescue. And I'm looking at a picture here of one, two, three, four, five, at least six. Looks like there's another one or two even behind that of the fire and rescue vehicles, fire trucks, rescue trucks, and so forth. And they said Charlie was a little bashful to run up because it was a pretty dramatic scene
when
the fire truck rolled up. But you see a picture of him. He's got a big balloon, a balloon three. He got a some kind of coloring book and lots of other things. And it was really appropriate for Charlie because Charlie, he misses going to visit his grandma and grandpa, and he misses going to McDonald's. And he stays home and watches his favorite cartoon show, Paw Patrol, which it stars a character named Marshall, a Dalmatian who rescues others in his red fire truck.
Wow. How about that? That's a great story. Bill, let's touch on one more. We got just a couple more minutes here, and maybe you can just give us a tease on what I'm sure we'll talk more about in our upcoming Lightning Radio next week, and that is the county budget. Steve Wyatt presented that to the commissioners yesterday, county budget and some issues we have with some NCDOT funding.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are really part of the same pie of problems in the economy and certainly in tax revenue caused by the coronavirus ever since early to mid-March. And as he has done every time I've ever seen him do it, which is going on 20 years now, Steve Wyatt came up with a pretty solid budget in spite of a drop of at least 5 million dollars in the upcoming year, a drop in sales tax at least, and I think it's already at around 2 million just in the current year, which is the third, but particularly the fourth quarter of the fiscal year, which ends, of course, on June 30th. So read all about that, and we will have more detail on that as time goes on. It keeps what people want to know about the tax rate. It keeps the property tax where it is, which I think is 56.1 cents per $100 valuation. It's $152 million, which is $7.4 million less than the current budget we're in, 2019-2020. So that'll give you some idea. They took big chunks of money, really, from not a big school project. So you won't see the cranes and the bulldozers and the crews depart from the Hendersonville High School. You won't see them evacuate at Rugby Middle School and Flat Rock Middle School, where they're doing those big new HVAC replacement. You won't see any of that. In fact, those are running ahead of schedule. But stuff that was more in the proposal phase, that's frozen. And a lot of that was some smaller projects, some maintenance, including some safety and security projects in the public schools. Not scrapped forever, but on hold. So that's how they get to a greatly trimmed budget, but one that keeps the tax rate where it is. And in a similar vein, at least as bad, but really worse, everything except for projects underway and some projects otherwise funded other than the state gas tax, those projects are all frozen in the NCDOT's cash crisis. NCOD has fallen below a legislatively mandated floor of, I think it's around $300 million. They're about $100 million under that floor now in their cash balance. So that means everything is on hold. And so the first question people ask around here is, what does that mean for projects that we either know and love or know and hate, such as Highland Lake Road Project, NC-191 widening, and the White Street widening, modernization, extension? Those actually, all three would survive because they are they're funded by something called NC Build Bonds, which is a bond issue. But even that has a pretty major asterisk, because what we're reporting on in this story came from yesterday's meeting of the Transportation Advisory Committee, in which Brian Birch, the top NCDOT engineer for this part of Western North Carolina, said there's some doubt, in fact, a fair amount of doubt, that the North Carolina Treasurer is going to sell those bonds for those projects as scheduled in either May or June. So there you go. What everything up to now has not managed to stop those projects. The coronavirus may have, at least for now. We'll see if those bonds get sold. They'll go forward. If they don't, those projects also stop.
All right. Well, there's this and much more in this week's Hendersonville Lightning. Bill, tell everyone where they can pick their copy up.
Yeah, we also got an Ask Matt. Got more coverage of the downtown on the downtown trial closing, which is an opening, or an opening, which is a closing. Look for that on the editorial page, and then much more that we don't have time to talk about, that you can get at any of the Lightning Orange racks around the county, or by going to, as many people who either stay at home or are now safer at home are doing these days, consume HendersonvilleLightning.com in the comfort and safety of your home, and click on subscribe and join the growing legions of Lightning fans and get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.